think about this a minute.
Okay.
Says, I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. Okay? Is everybody getting all worked up and worried about this? No. This writer said, I know that he's leading through all the stormy blasts. Look here. It says, none other is so loving, so good. Luke, thank you so much for this song, because how it ties in with this morning. Think about those different rods. Compare Christ with Buddha, Muhammad. Muhammad? What? None other is so loving, so good, and kind.
Amen.
None like him. There's none like him. Amen. That's a blessing. I want you to take your Bibles tonight. I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And chapter number 1.
1 Thessalonians 1. And we're going to pick up tonight at verses 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says this. Well, to get the context, let's look at verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Father, thank you for your word. Help us, instruct us, and guide us tonight. And Father, I pray, dear Lord, as we take up a love offering now, Lord, for Brittany, I pray you'll bless it. Lord, may it be a help to her along her way. And Lord, may we do this for your honor and glory in the name of the Lord Jesus, in whose name I ask this. Amen. I want you to be seated. And Kevin, if you'd come up here. You're on the end there. I want Kevin to go around. If I don't do this now, brethren, if I don't do this kind of thing now, look here. I know what will happen. And brethren, what will happen is I will forget. Y'all just know me. And if we don't take up a little something here for her, I'm going to forget. So look here, brethren. We're going to take and pass it around. If you, and then, Kevin, when you're done, put it on the table out there. If anybody wants to put something in it when we're done, go right ahead. But if I don't do this now, I forget. So you go ahead. And as he goes around there, brethren, we appreciate it. I'll get to going with things, and when I finish up, only thing on my mind is what we've been preaching on, and I just don't remember. And so what will happen is I know y'all be out there out of the cars or halfway out of here, and I'll be yelling for you, trying to get you back in. And so I know how it goes. And so, Brittany Franklin. Amen. Right? Okay. Amen. Amen. All right. So, Kevin, look here. I think it doesn't feel there. Amen. Just pass it on down there. Yeah, amen. It's a blessing. Appreciate it, brethren. We thank the Lord for sending Brittany by our way, and we want to be a help to her in any way we can. And so, Kevin, just put that thing back there on the back table in the other room. Amen. And remember, Kevin, your mom was watching you. Amen, brother. 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Paul says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. So what's he talking about? What is Paul talking about when he says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you? What showed this? What revealed this? What is he talking about? Well, go back to verse 8. He said, for from you, from these brethren at Thessalonica, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God were to spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. So, brethren, the testimony that these brethren in Thessalonica had to Godward. That's an interesting phrase, Godward. The phrase Godward in the dictionary means toward God. So, brethren, the testimony of their faith toward God sounded out. It spoke volumes. It made a noise. But then people heard about it. They knew of it. Word got around. Now, brother, we know it's a twofold thing. Some people, you know, this idea of, well, I witnessed with my life. Well, hold on. Your life should back up your words, but they got to hear something from your mouth. But if they don't hear from your mouth about Jesus Christ and what He's done for you, that He is the reason you're the way you are, then brethren, they'll just think that you're a decent person, and you're not. It's the new birth that makes you different. So they've got to hear words from your mouth, but your life should back up those words. And the testimony they had shouted volumes. Word had got out and it had spread. You see, brethren, listen. Proof of possession produces greater joy than mere words of profession. See, brethren, look here. I'll be honest with you. When somebody makes a profession of faith, I do most of my rejoicing months later. Because when they first profess, all that is, well, they made a profession. It may be real, it may not be real. It may have took, and it may not took. They may have believed, but believed in vain, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. So a lot of times you don't know, right? But when you can see down the line, that's when I really rejoice. Amen. Because you're like, you know what? Looks like that thing took, buddy. There's something there. There's some evidence. There's some concrete. There's something there. Just like these brethren. They made a profession, but boy, I mean, there was something to it. And the testimony of their faith toward God sounded out. I mean, people just heard about it and it spread around. So brethren, proof of the new birth, proof of the Lord abiding within, proof that you belong to God, proof of possession, possession of the new birth, possession of the Holy Ghost, proof of possession should produce greater joy than a mere words of profession. Amen. You can rejoice when somebody professes to get saved, but a lot of times, brethren, you can't see in the heart, you can't know. Now you can't call them a liar, but a lot of times it's like, well, okay, you hope. Because so often you see, especially today, brethren, especially today when people are, rather than letting the Holy Ghost deal with folks, everybody's caught up in their soul winning plans, it's what's produced so many stillborns today. People have professions, but there's no evidence of the new birth. Man, that early church, they wanted to see a difference. And people still should look for that and see that. And brethren, it's this thing of, again, Brittany. Brittany, she needs to go down there in Mexico and tell these kids about Jesus Christ. She needs to tell them about Jesus Christ and the trust of the Holy Ghost to bring home the words of the truth that these kids are going to hear and deal with them and draw them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something tonight. Is your life as loud as your words? Is your life as loud as your words? The Bible says, verse 8, "For from you sound it out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to God is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of ending end we had unto you." Brethren, a lot of people profess a lot of things. I'm going to tell you what I found out, and I've mentioned it before. Brethren, next week, yeah, I think it'll be next week, I'll be pastoring 25 years. This church will be 25 years. Next week will be 25 years. And I'll tell you what I found out in these 25 years. I've seen it constantly. That most of the time, the people whose life is in a mess, who from all appearances need to really do some examining, like Paul said. I mean, Paul said, examine yourselves. Most of the time, you know what that crowd's like? I'm saved. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I'm saved. And yet the brethren who feel like they can never do nothing right and all the time beating herself up and feel like, they're the ones, they got something, man. You're standing outside looking at their life and they're like, they feel like I'm just so rotten. I'm just, but brother, I'm telling you, that crowd that's just, living more out than in, living more of the world, they're just like, man, ain't no problem. I'm good to go. It's scary. It scares not. But listen, your life should be as loud as your words. Do you have to convince someone by your words, or does your life do it for you? Now, brethren, they need to hear something from you. But your life should back it up. Brethren, the Bible speaks in Romans and other places that, listen, your actions as a believer can cause the Word of God and the name of God to be blasphemed. The Jews, by their hypocrisy, Paul said, caused the Word of God to be blasphemed. The name of God to be blasphemed. And your words, your actions, your deeds can cause God's Word. Here you claim to know the Lord, believe the King James Bible, but brethren, when you don't live according to the dictates of Scripture, that hypocrisy will cause people to say, I don't need it. That's where your God is? I don't need none of that. I don't need that stuff. Brethren, listen. Again, do you have to convince someone by your words, or does your life do it for you? Brethren, thank the Lord for the opportunities we've got to put up the Scripture signs. Brother Jamie, Sister Heather, some of the signs are making for us. The Scripture magnets on the cars, the shirts we're doing. All this, what a blessing! But your life better back that up. And if you mess up, make it right. You don't want somebody going, huh? Got it on the car and need it in their heart. Got it on their shirt. What if they know him inside? So brethren, look here. Those things will happen. If you've messed up, make it right. Make it right. Don't you pull on this mess of, well, I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. In other words, I'm making an excuse for myself. You know, no. Say nope. If you've messed up, man up to it and say, yes indeed. I name the name of Jesus Christ and I'm ashamed of how I just represented him because he's not like that. And I apologize. Make the thing right. People can respect you when you be honest and be real, make things right. So look what it says. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you and how ye turned to God from idols. How ye turned to God from idols. Brethren, I'm afraid there are too many of professing believers today. Brethren, do you know what that turn to God from idols, you know what the word for that is? Repentance. There's a word for that. It's repentance. I'm afraid, brethren, we don't have people today, I'm afraid, that have turned to God from idols. They've just prayed a little prayer. Amen. They've just gone through a set little routine and somebody's told them they're saved, but they've never in their heart turned to God from idols. But when I got saved as a young man, you know what I did? I turned to God. I don't care what age you get saved at, but you better be turning to God. Amen. And you better see your need to turn to God. But 11 years old, I saw my need to turn to God because I saw myself and it wasn't pretty. It was an ugly picture that the Holy Ghost showed me of me. I knew what I was. And that night, I turned to God. From idols? Yes. Biggest one in my life was me. Biggest idol in my life was Jonathan Doss. And I turned from that, from me, to God and came to Him through Jesus Christ and got born again. My brethren, look here today. Where do we find people turning to God? We find people praying prayers. We find people going through a process or a little soul. But where do we find people turning to God? But salvation is turning to God. Amen. And when you turn to Him, you realize that to get to Him, you've got to come through Christ. Right. But it's turning to God from idols. Salvation from sin to God. Go to Acts 14. Acts 14. Brethren, you've got to deal with the sin issue. And you've got to pray that the Holy Ghost will help someone to see their condition and hope. And you can't decide this for them. Hope that they will desire and want to turn from idols to the living God. You might think that didn't apply to people today. That's more people who are worshiping idols. No. All men need to turn from idols to the living God. Do you understand me? All men, today, the people you deal with, they are involved in idolatry, and I'll prove it. And they need to turn from idols to the living God and get born again. Acts 14, look at verse 15. And saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all things that are therein. Listen, brethren. He didn't say that, and preach unto you that you should take, listen, and pray with me and ask Jesus Christ in your heart. Do you understand me? Look what Paul told him first. Preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God. Brethren, you find somebody that's confused, if in their heart they're wanting to turn to God, I just about guarantee you, when they make that turn, there's a lot of things that will get clear. They make that turn, there's a lot of things that will get clear. I'm serious. You come to God through Jesus Christ. But brethren, many people, brethren, you understand me? I know kids everywhere, adults. I've preached in church, Christian schools, and I'm telling you, it's filled with kids that know how to tell somebody how to be saved from the Scripture, but they're not saved themselves. Because they've never turned to God. You understand? They know how to be saved. You know, in the juvenile centers, in the prison, these kids can tell you how to be saved, but they're not saved. They'll tell you, Jesus died for my sins. That they know the words. What's the problem? They've never turned to God.
Right.
They love their sin.
That's right.
And somebody shortchanged them and said, just pray here with me, you're good to go. And they've never dealt with this matter of their sin.
Right.
And the Bible does. Paul preached repentance toward God.
Right.
And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Not, I'm sorry I'm in a mess. No, God, I'm sorry I've sinned against you. And I want to be reconciled to you. And I realize to do that, I've got to come through your Son. Brethren, look here. Repentance toward God. Turning to God. Take your Bible, go to Acts 26. Acts 26. Do you know, brethren, the reason Jesus Christ enters the picture is He's the way to get you to God. That individual wants to be saved. They want to know God. They want to know God. Christ enters the picture simply as the way you come to know God. He is the bridge between God and man. He's able to take the Father in one hand, reach the other out of man, and God and man meet in Christ. But the key is that man desires to know God, to turn to God. That's the whole thing. Not just a little something that somebody goes through. Listen, people need to see their need to turn to God. That's the reason so many people, so many kids sometimes get so confused about salvation. Where somebody has got them to where they've told them they're saved, but the Holy Ghost has never told them they're saved. And you know what? That child has never had a desire to turn to God. They know the right words, they know the right phrases, they've prayed a little stuff, but they've never turned to God. Brethren, when I got saved, 11 years, I turned to God. I turned from me to God through Jesus Christ and got saved. Man, give these kids the truth. But listen, let God work with them, let God deal with them. And help them understand that they need to turn to God from idols. Brethren, yes, the same message that needs to be preached today. Men need to turn from idols. But you don't hear it. You don't hear it. Men today still need to turn from idols. Get out of your mind. It's simply a thing of bowing down to a stone or wooden object. There's way more idols that men need to turn from to turn to God. Acts 26, look at verse 17. The Lord Jesus is telling Paul, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Lord, why are you doing that? Why are you sending Paul to the people, the Jews and the Gentiles? Why are you sending him, Lord? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Let me ask you something here. Whether you're here or listening again on a recording, it's amazing how funny this morning's message and tonight's just kind of coincide. Strange. Let me ask you something. Have you, has there come a point in your life that you have turned to God from idolatry? Not just said a prayer, not just believe facts about Jesus. Have you ever turned to God? Not turned to God for help in a bad situation. But turned to God from sin.
Amen.
From idolatry. from yourself, from whatever idol you had, your job, your possessions, your sports idols, your Hollywood idols, your rock star, whatever it was, that you turned and said, God, I want you.
Amen.
And you alone.
Amen.
Some people who have this cockeyed nonsense of saying, well, that a lost person is not supposed to repent. You're out of your mind.
Amen.
You're out of your mind. That's insane. God always calls His people to repentance all through the book. Let me tell you something, here's the problem. Well, somebody said, well, I didn't know every sin that I had in my life when I got saved. Let me tell you something. I understand that kind of thing, but you know what? There should have been in your heart a desire that all you knew was wrong and from you. God, I whatever's wrong, and I know's wrong, and myself, God, all I want is you.
Amen.
I don't want this world no more. God, I don't want to say, I want you.
Amen.
Brethren, how in the world can you come to God any other way? Salvation, believing on Jesus Christ, is the way that you meet God. But first, there's a heart attitude that says, God, I want to know you. I've been rebellious against you. I've lived for myself, and I'm sorry. What did Paul say? Paul preached repentance toward God. Not just, I'm sorry because my life's in a mess. I'm sorry because everything's falling apart. I'm sorry because life's just miserable. No, God, I caused my junk. It's my fault. I deserve it. God, what I'm sorry about is you are good. You're creator. You're holy. I've not thought twice about you. I've not given diddly squat to you, thinking about you. And God, I'm sorry.
Amen.
I don't know about you, honey, but that's how I got saved. Nobody had to take it. That's how I got saved. I realized I was contrary to God, didn't know God, didn't think about God, didn't care about thinking about God, and I wanted to know God. And I turned. I turned. That night, all I wanted was God through Jesus Christ. And I came to Him through Christ, and I met Him. I met God in Jesus Christ. And my life has never been the same since.
Amen.
He made a new creature out of me. Listen, I turn from I die. It's the same thing today. See, the problem of it is, you don't get a lot of notches in your belt that way. You don't get a lot of quick results like that. You don't get a lot of padding the numbers. But you can get real salvation that way.
Amen.
And that's the message of the book, and it's never changed. It's never changed. We're in a mess today. We're in a mess. That's why so many people are confused or made twofold more the child of hell than they were. You know, they are messed up, more messed up than they already were. Because, brethren, you see, you can give somebody facts and lead them along on something. But when you deal with that heart, that's a wrestling time, man. That's wrestling time. Because you got to determine, are you willing to turn from self to God? A godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Do you want to be reconciled to God? Not a fire escape just to miss hell.
Amen.
Brother, missing hell was just a fringe benefit.
Yes,
when I got saved, I'll tell you what I wanted. I wanted to know God.
Right.
I wanted to be restored to a right relationship with Him. I wanted to be reconciled to Him. Fringe benefit was missing hell, glory to God.
Yes,
what was glorious was I now knew God.
Right.
I was forgiven. And I knew Him and He knew me. Brother, that's what it's about. And again, not just turning to God for help from a bad situation. But there's a difference between tears of contrition and tears because everything's falling apart for me, life isn't good. Well, no kidding. It's never good when we go our own way. But there's a difference between tears of life's a mess versus God. My tears are for the fact I've not cared about you. And I've done you so wrong. And you've been so good to me. And I want to know you. And I realize to know you, I've got to come through your Son. Go to Romans 1. Men still need to turn to God from idols. Still. Amen, Brother Dawson. You're talking about Catholicism, right? Oh, no, not just that. That too, but not just that. Well, listen, man, I didn't know a Catholic from an Aborigine, man, when I was coming up. You understand me? I didn't know. I never was. Well, man, there in North Carolina, man. What? You ain't going to find, you know. But I tell you what, I had idols. And the main one was this one right here. Romans 1, look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Let me tell you something. I was guilty right there. See that verse, Romans 1:25? I was guilty. I worshiped and I served the creature more than the Creator. Which one, Brother Doss? Were you involved in some kind of cult or some kind of tribal? No. I worshiped me. I was a real idiot. I worshiped me. What a thing to worship. I worshiped Jonathan Doss. Did you bow down in a mirror at yourself? Look what it says. No. Worshiped and served. I served me. The night I got saved, I remember, Lord, it's all about me. All I care about is me. It's all about me. I've never thought twice about you. It's all about me. God, I'm sorry. I want to know you. I realized to get to Him, I had to come through Christ. Take your Bible to Colossians 3. Men still need to turn from idols to the living God. Well, it's amazing how this ties in with this morning. Notice the living God. We talked about the resurrection this morning, those rods. Colossians 3, look at verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Whoa. Mm-hmm. What does your Bible say covetousness is? Idolatry. You think people aren't caught up with that today? What? Even saints are caught up with it. But look at that. Covetousness, it's idolatry. Brethren, your Bible is spot on when it says how ye turn to God from idols. If you're saved, it's what you did. You turned to God from idols, from sin. And if you're not saved, it's what you need to do. You need to turn to God from idolatry, from worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator. From whatever idols you have in your life, you need to turn from that to God. I don't care what some cockeyed soul winner tries to tell you that don't know his head from a hole in the ground. Can you imagine? Look what Paul said. How ye turn to God from idols. How ye turn to God from idols. You can tell me that message don't apply today? It applies. Amen. My goodness, brethren. It's men's souls that are at stake. He didn't say, and how you went and prayed this prayer. No, ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. He turned, and they turned to God through Jesus Christ. That's repentance. Notice what it says, how you turn from idols to serve the living and true God. So salvation is turning to God from idolatry and sin through Jesus Christ for the purpose of now living for and serving Him. You turn to God not merely to escape hell, but to serve Him. Notice He's the living God. He's the living God. Go to 1 Timothy 4. Well, we definitely dealt with that this morning. He's the living God. 1 Timothy 4. And verse 10. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now, boy, that's one for Calvinism to bust their teeth on. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is the Savior for who? All men. Especially of those that believe. Yes, he bought all men. Yes, it's just all men don't choose Amen. To accept that payment that's made on their behalf. Mm-hmm. Brethren, look here. Did you know what? Dealing with individuals, witnessing and dealing with individuals really should be one of the most natural and easiest things we ever do. What's happened is, because of a pressure that has come on in the modern age that you don't find in the early church, it's become a thing to where men feel guilty about, well, how many have I led to the Lord, or I've not done. So then you start compromising and start using man's reasonings or worldly mechanisms to get a decision. Brother, in the Bible, what you see is, you put out the gospel. You tell folks of Christ. You answer their questions. You show them the need of repentance. You pray for them. You're there for them. And then it's between the individual and God. And brother, this is a scary thing for somebody to depend upon salvation upon what you confirm to them. The Holy Ghost must confirm it. What does your Bible say? His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When I got saved, I had an internal witness that bore witness that I was a child of God now. God gives that. Listen, it didn't matter what my mama told me. That ain't going to see me through. It didn't matter what daddy told me. It didn't matter what the preacher told me. It didn't matter what anybody told me. I needed confirmation from God.
Amen.
That He gave me by the witness of His Spirit and through the Word of God. My wife, God bless her, she brought up church, you know, went forward, talked to the preacher, they baptized her, lost as could be. Man, brethren, I told you before, I remember finding men's love letters I would write to Sarah when we were teenagers, right? And how burdened I was for. Outwardly, Sarah really was better, lived better than I did. Shamefully, shame. But I was saved and knew it. But I could tell. You understand, brother? Sarah was, she had everything together outwardly. But when we, I was like, man, I thought something's not right here. Sarah says she's saved. She's been baptized. She reads her Bible. But something, whenever we would talk spiritual things, I just sensed I had something she didn't have. Now, I wasn't doing like I ought to do. But I knew inside. But man, she said she was saved. I loved her to death. We was good friends. We got married. But God, in His infinite mercy, in His mercy, 4 months after we got married, she got saved. God's good.
Yes, sir.
And the difference was there. Not a bunch of ungodliness that had to be God. But she now understood the Bible like she didn't before. Now there was a spirit. There was a difference there. Now, you young folks, look here. God had mercy because, listen, you've been exposed to more. God had mercy on us. Sarah, you know what Sarah told me the other day? Sarah told me the other day, she goes, Jonathan, you know, she said, I'm not envious. She said, but I look at, you know, Luke and Abby and Adam and Ellie, and she goes, you know, they're getting to start out. She said, you know, she goes, me and you didn't have the preaching to come up under that they're getting. And she said, you know, I'm not envious. She goes, but it just kind of, you wish, you know. And some of you kids, look here, understand what you're getting to get. Not me, through the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? And your parents, take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. And you're more accountable. God was just merciful to me and Sarah. Thank the Lord. But you know better. You know better. Look here. So He's the living God. He's not a dead stone or piece of wood or piece of dough. He's the living God. He's the true God. Go to 1 John 5. Man. 1 John 5 what you faced in the sense of Southern Baptist Church. I'm just telling the truth, brother. I'm just telling the truth. And I say that because the Independent Baptist Church is getting the same way. Just like you. You know what I'm saying? It was a thing of, you know, you just go through this little thing, you do, you're pronounced. That's what happened to her. It's exactly what happened to her.
Amen.
And I remember when I would go to church with her, I was always like, because I was like, I'd be the one in her Sunday school class answering questions. And I was like, splish. It's almost like, I was like, what do you people, it's like you talk to a preacher and a preacher tells you you're saved. I was like, man, I met God. I was like, I understand what's going on with y'all. You know what I'm saying? I was like, the preacher tells you are saved. I was like, well, I met God. I got born again.
Amen.
And it was like, what? What's going on here? And but I'll tell you what, Independent Baptist, same kind of stuff goes on. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Who's Jesus Christ? He's the living God. He's the true God.
Amen.
The true God. So go back to 1 Thessalonians 1 real quick. Look what it says. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Look what it says in verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven. Amen. Wait for Jesus Christ, not Antichrist.
Amen.
Got that?
Amen.
Didn't say we're supposed to be sitting here waiting for Antichrist. We're not supposed to be sitting here, brethren, going, I wonder who it'll be. Brethren, he comes, hey, the beast, out of the pair. I ain't worried about him.
Amen.
I don't worry about him.
Right.
I'm looking for Jesus Christ.
Come,
so you're just looking for Jesus Christ to come and get you. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. And take you out. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. Yeah. A lot better than looking for Antichrist.
Amen.
Brethren, don't you see? I'm not looking for Antichrist.
Amen.
How depressing.
Yes, sir.
this new pope. And hey, I think there's something to that. A pope just don't resign. I think there's something to it. I think it all has ties in with events. I do. I really do. I'm just not worried about it.
Amen.
Really. Anything God reveals about it, be fine. But brethren, I ain't going to let it take my joy. And I'm not going to get on like, this could be. Why? I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about that. I'm waiting for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They're saying, brethren. But you know what, brethren, so some of the saints, brethren, what they're doing? They're looking at it for Antichrist. It'll depress you. It'll discourage you. It'll get you paranoid. The Bible says, and to wait for His Son from heaven. To wait for His Son from heaven. That's what we're supposed to be doing. I think it was Vance Havner said, too many people are looking for 666 when the church is sick, sick, sick. Yeah. Look here. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead. Just like we talked about this morning. Man, it's amazing how this ties together. Look at Acts 10 real quick. Acts 10. Acts 10. Man alive, brethren. This world will make you crazy. Looking for Antichrist. Brother Mike sent that thing around. Brother Cloud had on the preppers and everything. To where you buy inserts to put in your yard. Really? Shelters to put in your yard. But it had never occurred to anyone that if something like that really went down, your neighbors will kill you. Your neighbors will take your shelter. Not me. I'm armed to the teeth. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You are not going to take on the armament of the United States military or the UN. Brethren, just stop. It's silly.
Yes.
It's not what the Lord told you to do. To be going around, can you imagine? I got my knife. I got my shelter. I'm ready. Let the zombies come. They might come. Brethren, that's not... Come on, what's wrong with you? Brethren, if you don't stay in the Word of God, the devil will scramble your brains. And you'll act foolish. And you will, listen, you'll give a bad name to the cause of Christ. Oh, Christian, huh? Christian, right? Your Lord's going to see you through. Yes, with the help of Gerber and Smith and Wesson. Yes. Brethren, that's, no, don't you dare. The world's supposed to see a difference in us. I'm waiting for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm supposed to finish this course with joy. Sure. Not that silly stuff. The people are, well, you just wait, Pastor. You just wait. So you want it, right? I guess you want that to happen, right? You just want that. Just show me, huh? Just to show me. Don't you see that whole spirit is wrong?
Amen.
Brethren, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. I'm just supposed to be, listen, joyously. I live for the Lord and wait for the return of His Son and just live for God day by day. My Savior said, in the world is your tribulation, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. My Savior said, take no thought for the morrow should take thought for the things of itself, sufficient are the days, the evil thereof. Come on, brethren. You better stay in that book.
Amen.
You better stay away from that stuff, it'll scramble your brains up. Acts 10. Somebody's going to make money off of you. Somebody's going to make some money off of you, buddy. Acts 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which He did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed Him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead. He's the living God. He's the true God. Who the Father raised from the dead, even Jesus. Look what it says. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen. Oh, I know. There are some people out there and say, well, Brother Dawes, no, what that means is the church is going through the tribulation. It's just He'll deliver us from the wrath. Stop. We're not going back over that tonight. That's the reason we had that study we did to show that kind of thing. All right, look here. Go to Matthew 3. Matthew 3. It's amazing, brother. But if the church is around through any part of the tribulation, it doesn't fit. It can't. That's not there. Brother, that stuff comes up out of the pit. The only ones that are secure from that, again, are 144,000 Jewish male virgins. They're the only ones secure from that stuff. Matthew 3, look at verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I'm just going to say to you, wrath is not just the tribulational time period. It also has to do with hell and a lake of fire. The Lord, listen, John said to that crowd there, he said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Listen, he's delivered us from the wrath to come. I'm secure in Jesus Christ. Go to Luke 3. Luke 3. Luke 3. And verse 7. Once again, then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Go to John 3. John 3. Just real quick, John 3. Verse 17. John 3, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Not the elect,
Amen.
The world,
Amen.
But that the world, through him,
yes, sir.
Might be saved. Why is the world not saved? Because they choose not to be.
Amen.
It's their own choice. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. What a blessing. You believe on Jesus Christ, you pass from condemnation unto life. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See that, preacher? See that? See that? Just simple belief. Just simple belief. It is, but hold on. Look at the next verses. And this is the condemnation. That light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Not simply believing about Jesus. You come to him dealing with the issue over your personal sin and rebellion. And you face God with it through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're not getting around that thing. Brethren, Jesus said the condemnation is light's coming to the world. Men love. Brethren, men don't mind a prayer or a profession. What they don't want is true light entering into their soul. Why? Because they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But if as long as you don't make somebody deal with their deeds, they're fine. But you've got to make them deal with their deeds. You've got to face them with their sin, just like Paul did. When he dealt with Agrippa, you've got to make them face that. The Holy Ghost does. He came to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. All right. Brethren, if you're saved, we are already delivered from the wrath to come. You know what, brethren? In 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, you know, what you kind of sum up and see here is this. Number one, and what you see, notice something, look at this. Look what it says in verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. Remember without ceasing your work of faith, number 1, labor of love, number 2, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Well, lo and behold, look at verse 9. How ye turn to God from idols, number one, to serve the living and true God, number two, number three, to wait for His Son from heaven. You know what the Lord wants you to do? Three things here. Get saved if you're not saved. Get saved. You want that encompasses? Turning to God from idols through Jesus Christ. Do you understand? If you're not saved, whether you're here or listening to this recording, you need to get saved. You need to, perhaps for the first time ever in your life, you need to chuck your empty baptism, your empty profession. You need to turn to God from idols. The number one being your own self. Turn from self and sin to God through Jesus Christ and accept the blood atonement He's made on your behalf. After that, serve the Lord. serve the Lord. He says, look, how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Once you're saved, you've got the right God. You've got the right God now. Serve Him. Serve Him. Serve Him. And thirdly, wait for His return. Wait for His return. What a blessing, brother. You don't have to get up in the morning going, you got purpose! You've got the right God to serve. Amen. Not only benefits you here, but to lay up treasure on the other side. Serve Him and wait for His return. So wait for His return. Not getting boogered up waiting for Antichrist. If you go that route, you're going to get confused. There are events that haven't played out yet, and we don't know how all they're going to play out. There's change-ups and shake-ups coming, and if you're not careful, things won't fit your timetable and you'll get discouraged. I believe a couple of years ago I made the statement that, you know what? What's hurting some Bible believers, what's causing some Bible believers to get, well, is this church going through tribulation? What's messing them up? They tried to set a date on our Lord's return, on the rapture. They tried to date set. They thought, He's coming in 76. He's coming in 83. He's coming in 88. He's coming in 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96. Listen, you know what? He ain't come yet. He's going to. But you don't know when. He's going to come. If you start, Brother Doss, I've got it now. He's going to. Stop it. You might not live by next month.
Amen.
You might die of a heart attack, get cancer, run over of a car. Do you understand me? Serve God now. And listen, so what happens is, some of the brethren, you watch me, and more, it's going to happen more. Some of the brethren are going to be like, well, he was supposed to come. So, you know what? It must be we're wrong, and we're going to go through the tribulation. Why are they saying? Because he hadn't come back yet like they thought he would. Do you understand? When you start date setting, you set yourself up for discouragement and opening the wrong doctrine. Quit that stuff. Don't get involved with it. He's coming back. You just don't know when. And you don't know if you're going to be alive next week. Serve God now. If you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, serve the living and true God. You got the right God now. Serve Him.
Amen.
And wait for His return. Before you were saved, you served a false god yourself. That profited you nothing. Now you got the right God. Serve Him. And wait for His return. You know what this will do? Keep you pure. Go to 1 John 3, and this is where I'm closing at. 1 John 3. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope, what hope? Of seeing Jesus, seeing Him as He is, purifieth himself even as He is pure. So brethren, mark her down, man. Some of the folks that you know that are getting involved in prepping and getting ready for end time events, are they in their Bible? Are they in church? Are they living holy separate lives? Start examining, brethren. Look around. You'll also find many of them that are involved in this stuff are starting to get into Sabbath observance again. They'll start getting into things under the law because they're not in church. They're not in a Bible-believing church. They're not in their Bible. Brethren, I'm telling you. Listen, we're supposed to have hope and joy and be waiting for the Lord's return. And brethren, you don't even know you're going to be here at His return. You might die next week or next month. So you don't know the course God's got for you. Take no thought for the tomorrow. The tomorrow should take thought for the things itself. Sufficient unto the days of evil thereof. Serve God today.
Amen.
Rejoice in what you've got in Christ. And the hope that we're going to see Him one day, that should have a purifying effect on your life. The Bible says we should wait for His Son. Wait for His return. The word wait in the dictionary means to rest. To rest in expectation and patience. To look watchfully. Brethren, where are the people that are waiting with this definition, that people are properly waiting for the Lord. No, they're getting torqued out, trying to prepare for something. Oh, brethren, the Bible tells you and I that we're supposed to take and wait for His Son from heaven. That word wait in the dictionary means to rest in anticipation, expectation, and patience. He's going to come. He's going to come back. He'll take you with Him. And if you go before that, you go by the way of the grave, He'll see you through. You take that final step. So serve Him. Amen. Serve Him. Get your eyes centered on the correct, sound things of Scripture. Scripture. Get saved if you're not saved. If you're saved, serve Him. Wait for the return of His Son from heaven. You know what? Lately, some of the emails we've been getting from folks that, once again, I'm telling you, there seems to be a common thread. You'll find many of the folks that are involved in this prepping stuff, and this stuff of going through the treatment. Guess what? You'll find they're not in a local church. They're not in what God established and set up, the local church, and they're getting doctrine confused. They're having no joy. They're getting robbed of things, and they're getting confused. Brethren, keep it sound and safe in what the Lord has set up, and you can finish this thing correct for Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, thank You, Lord, for this time. Thank You for these true and right principles out of Your Word. Help us to take heed to them. And dear Father, if there's someone here tonight or listening to this recording that has never turned, Father, to You from idols through Jesus Christ to serve You, Lord, may this be the night that they do so. Deal with anyone, Father, that's never turned to You, either here or listening to this recording. We ask this, Father, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.